Lunch with Pippa Hudson
on Cape Talk.
Join the conversation.
In February last year, we introduced you to Ron Rutland, the former Capetonian who is one of the world's most passionate rugby fans. He has literally travelled halfway around the world in support of various World Cup events. And if you remember the story, you'll know that his adventure began back in 2015. Ron was 35 years old at the time, woke up and decided he wanted to start living a more courageous life, a more deliberate life, a life full of the kind of adventure he had dreamed of having in his younger years. And so he set off on a trip through Africa, visiting every single country on this continent along the way, en route to England to watch the Rugby World Cup. A couple of years later, he went trekking in Mongolia. That was 2017. And then 2 years later, he mounted another epic journey, carrying the starting whistle for the 2019 World Cup from the former host, England, all the way over to the new host, Japan. And Ron and his cycling partner, James Owens, covered 27 countries on that trip, more than 20,000 kilometres. It took them 230 days. A documentary team went with them. You might have seen the movie that resulted. It was an excellent documentary called Everything In Between, The Race to the Rugby World Cup. It was showing on Showmax right about this time last year. I don't know if it's still available there. If you missed it, it is well worth looking out for. So 230 days, 27 countries, 20,000 kilometres. After cycling that far, most people I know would have parked their bicycle, taken off their shoes and said, never again. But because Ron has a very specific purpose behind these adventures, he is not one to throw in the towel that easily. And as we speak, he is in fact in the middle of another such journey, transporting the whistle from Japan to the upcoming Women's World Cup, which kicks off in New Zealand later this year. He is with us on Zoom from somewhere in Asia. I think it might be Malaysia. Ron, good afternoon. It's great to have you with us on the show again.
Oh, Pippa, thank you so much. And that introduction certainly brings back some good memories. And I'm actually here with my riding partner, Adam Nunn, and we're about an hour south of Kuala Lumpur. Hour in a car and a day's ride on a bicycle.
And how long have you been out of yet? I think you set off in March already, Ron.
Yes, we left Tokyo Stadium on the 14th of March. It's certainly been the most difficult project to get off the ground with all the COVID around in the world, and particularly in Asia, where they've been slightly more conservative with the reopening. We managed to get into Japan the first moment we could get a visa. And Adam and I have spent the last 72 or 73 days cycling through Japan, Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, and now currently in Malaysia. And it's been a wild ride.
And as you've referenced, I mean, you're doing it at a particularly difficult time to travel in that part of the world. Ron, have you had any difficulties getting across borders, getting permission to enter new countries?
Pippa, it's been a, you know, we had to be a little bit pragmatic this time around. And normally, you know, the London to Tokyo, we were absolute about making sure we cycled every inch and never jumped on a plane. But it was pretty obvious that China wasn't going to let us in, for example.
Yeah.
But it was also very important to us. So we started in Tokyo. We got the whistle, the same stadium. We delivered it 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we managed to get into Japan. And then secondly, it was very important to get into Vietnam. We had almost a bit of a hiccup. Adam, I'm lucky to have a dual nationality, a dual passport. Adam's on the famous Green Mamba, so we had a last minute concern about getting Adam into Vietnam, but it was so worth it. Child Fund Rugby, the project we're supporting, that's their sort of where the spiritual home, Laos and Vietnam and that part of the world.
Okay, so important to go there. Yeah.
Oh, so important. Yeah. And we've had one or two little hiccups since then, but I feel like we've kind of got the worst of it behind us, and it looks pretty open ahead.
So Ron, from here, I mean, you're only about halfway through, if that, I think. I mean, you've still got a heck of a long way to go, including several of the Pacific Island countries before you get to New Zealand. How much longer do you anticipate you're going to be on the road still?
Well, it's about 140 days. Not that we're counting, but so we're about a third of the way through. We've got to run into Singapore. We've got a big fundraising event there on Sunday night, and from there we've sort of got about 6 or 7 weeks all the way down Indonesia to East Timor. We're then going to fit in the Pacific Islands, Fiji, Tonga, Samoa. Obviously, a big rugby culture there. Yeah. Child Fund operator, Fiji in particular. And then we've got 4,500 kilometres across the outback of Australia, from Darwin to Sydney, to look forward to. So, that's certainly going to keep us honest. And then from there, we've got a sort of final run up by cycling up both islands of New Zealand to Auckland. And then the 8th of October, if all goes according to plan, we'll deliver the match whistle for the opening game, which is funny enough and very apt for us, is actually between South Africa and France.
Okay.
So we're delighted we'll be whistles for that women's game, that opening game of the Women's World Cup.
Now, you kept on saying we, Ron, and I think Adam is sitting with you as we speak. I'd love to chat to him as well if he's able to join the conversation, because
Adam
he is
right
your
hazard, right,
Adam. Welcome to the show as well, Adam Nunn. Adam, you're a South African and you are new to this particular brand of madness that Ron likes to practice. What got you involved?
Well, I kind of had a quarter-life crisis, if I can claim one of those. I was pursuing different careers and I was actually doing quite well, but nothing was really true to me. So I did this like self spiritual thing where I just said, I'm take control of my own life and became a bit of a yes man. I met Ron through the creation of the Everything in Between documentary.
Yep.
And I put my hand up and I said, Ron, if you ever do any other adventure, give me a call. And true to his word, about 18 months later, he gave me a call and he's like, Adam, I need someone to cycle around the world with me. So are you debt-free, dog-free, partner-free? Do you love rugby? And can you cycle 100 kilometers a day for 600 days? And I said, yes.
Were you lying about any of those parts of the equation, Adam?
No, that's true. That's actually true to Adam Nunn. So it was all good and it's still good. We actually, these days, we're doing a little bit more than 100 kilometers a day, just wow, catching up on all of those COVID restrictions that we had to deal with. And it's fantastic. And it's so nice being able to take control of my own life and do something out of the ordinary. My job title technically is a delivery man.
Whistle deliverer.
Whistle deliverer for the Rugby World Cup by bicycle.
Because why not? I mean, that's what I love about the story. It seems like the most obscure thing to do, but it's something that's come to have so much significance attached to it. Ron, I mean, let's get back to you. You've mentioned Child Fund Rugby, who are the official charity of the Rugby World Cup. They're the real reason that you do this, besides the personal challenge and the adventure and the ability to see parts of the world from a perspective not that many people get to share. But tell us a little bit more about the organization and why you're so passionate about supporting them.
Yeah, Pippa, in previous conversations we've had over the years, I mean, my Africa trip was really a very personal journey and, you know, of self-discovery. But as I've put, you know, done more and more of these expeditions, to put so much effort and energy into them, it kind of gives you, a lot. I mean, just having a much bigger purpose,
yeah,
just sort of, it really just gives you, it makes it so worthwhile. If you're going to put all the energy and effort in, let somebody else benefit more than just sort of Adam and I getting to sort of flutter around the world. So I've always enjoyed sport for development programs. I'm a massive fan of everything that Lauria Sport for Good do. They obviously do, a lot of good work in South Africa and Africa and around the world. And Child Fund Rugby, they were appointed as a charity partner for the Rugby World Cup in Japan. It was the first time that a rugby program was actually the official charity for the World Cup, which made a lot of sense. And basically, they use the power of rugby to give opportunities to young people, and particularly women and young girls in communities where women and young girls don't often get opportunities to, yeah, participate in sport. Many of them sort of get expected to leave home at 12, 13 years old. Many of them expected to get married at 13, 14 years old, or at very minimum just be working in the kitchen or the fields. And education is not considered a priority in a lot of these communities. So it's just wonderful to be able to use rugby. And it gives people, again, a reason to come out. And often boys are, boys play football, so the girls aren't allowed. Boys play badminton, girls aren't allowed. Mm. So if you introduce a new sport, particularly in countries where they don't know rugby, and you tell them it's a girls' sport, all of a sudden girls and young ladies have ownership of something. And the work they do is incredible. They've got all these various tools that they use to measure their effectiveness and impact. And they're just an incredible bunch of human beings. And it honestly, every day we have a lot of fun, but it's a lot of hard work. But it certainly makes it a lot easier to get up in the morning knowing that all the money we raise goes to them.
Just for those who've joined us late to the conversation, my guests on the line to us via Zoom from Malaysia, Ron Rutland and Adam Nunn, who are both cycling from Japan down to New Zealand. They are taking with them the whistle that will be used to signal the start of the Women's Rugby World Cup in October this year. The opening game being SA versus France. Ron, already somebody asking a couple of rugby-related questions on the WhatsApp line, starting with how good is our team for the Women's Rugby World Cup? I must confess, I haven't heard a whisper about the tournament until I got wind of the fact that you guys were doing your thing again. How good is our team? What are our chances like, do you think?
Yeah, well, we're very biased rugby fans, so anything with green and gold will tell you a good story. But there's been a lot of investment in the women's game over the last few years, particularly since rugby got brought into the Olympics in Rio a couple of years ago. And we've got our own podcast, the Race to Rugby World Cup Pod. We interviewed a couple of the ladies that are in the Springbok squad. And on the world rankings wise, I think we're 9th or 10th.
Okay.
But they said they're not going there just to make up numbers. They're not going there just to have fun and experience the tournament. They're actually going out there to win games, and their goal is to win the tournament. I cycled to England in 2015. Japan beat South Africa in what was the biggest upset in international rugby history. So, dreams do come true. Shocks happen.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of effort. There's a women's premier division, effectively the women's Currie Cup, which is getting bigger and bigger every year. So I'm hopeful. We're both very hopeful, and we'll be their two loudest fans on the 8th of October.
Okay. And then, Adam, last time you were part of the production crew working on the documentary, so you've probably got a good sort of overview of the madness that Ron put himself through on that trip. And if I remember correctly from the documentary, there were life-threatening situations aplenty, from mudslides that nearly sent him off the side of a hill to that weird virus that knocked him off his feet towards the end of the trip. What's it been like this time round? Have you had any sort of similar really hair-raising moments along the way?
To be honest, we've actually had quite smooth sailing in that regard. I think the most dangerous part of the trip so far was a couple movements onto the highways in Vietnam and like Thailand. Just for a brief moment, we do use an app that takes us on, the roads less traveled, but some of these trucks got paid per load and they come hurling past you. We make sure that we keep safe and keep wide of the trucks, if you can call it that, but also adapting to the climates. There are some days we're climbing up a hill and it's just so humid and we're just not really used to it. And we basically just leak. And if we're not replacing that water or that liquid with regular drinking, we probably dehydrate. So, we are cautious on that, but it's amazing. Basically from Hanoi all the way to where we are now, there's been humans, and where there's humans, there's food and water and, hospitals and safety and people. So,
yeah.
We haven't had that threat yet, but I think the outback of Australia is coming up soon. And there's about 2,000 kilometers of just pure nothingness. And that's where we're going to have to put our adventurer hats on and just make sure we're well prepared.
Of course, everyone's thinking of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and wondering if you've got some sequins and high heels packed in the bags to go do your thing in the outback.
I don't know if everyone is, but
dare I ask? Maybe it's just me. Ron, going back to sort of where you've been so far, and it sounds like you've been on fairly, as Adam's just said, fairly well populated stretches. What parts of the journey have surprised you, delighted you, been completely different from what you expected? If you want to name a couple of highlights along the way to share with our audience.
Oh, wow. It's always a difficult question. I think it's trying to, for people with children, probably trying to say, who's your favorite kid? But I think Japan, I was lucky enough to spend a lot of time there in 2019. But just going back there, and just as the country is very, very slowly reopening, I think it was what surprised me was the enthusiasm that the local people still have for rugby. So I think, they still talk about the World Cup that they hosted 3 years ago. So that was a really, just from a rugby point of view, as a rugby fundi, that was a wonderful surprise. And I think, I think Malaysia actually has been a country where we've been just absolutely spoiled. The food in this region, for anybody that's traveled in Southeast Asia, it's famous for the food for a good reason. For street food, for 20 Rand, you just get the most delicious breakfast, supper, lunch. But Malaysia is a country I haven't traveled an enormous amount in. And we've been very lucky that a friend of mine, an old university friend, has actually met us at the border. He lives here. He's been here many years. And he's been kind of been riding with us. One of his Malay colleagues has been in a car driving next to us, and he kind of goes ahead and finds us places to eat. So we've just been basically had like a chaperone through Malaysia, and it's all about the food. So we've just been absolutely spoiled. We're having three wonderful meals a day. It's probably the only, we're actually putting all the weight back on. I think we've lost in the first week. Okay. So the Malaysian food is the short answer.
Okay.
It's been remarkable.
On a more serious note, a listener asking your opinion on why you think South Africa is every time losing out on hosting the Rugby World Cup. Care to share a thought or two?
Oh, that's probably, I have an opinion, and it's not necessary. It's just, I think World Rugby, the tournament comes around once every 4 years. And at the end of the day, it's all about growing the game of rugby and making as much money as they possibly can. Mm-hmm. And I think the cold reality is that the more often the tournament is hosted in Europe, and let's be honest, that's England and France, that's a sort of a commercial, you know, center of the rugby world. You know, the euros and the pounds go a lot further than the rand. So I think that's what we're up against. That, yeah. I mean, we've obviously got an incredible record of hosting big events. The Football World Cup in 2010 was amazing. 95 Rugby World Cup was amazing. Cricket events we've hosted have just been fantastic. So I don't think there's any doubt that we've got the facilities and the ability to host it. I just think the economics are against us, if I'm completely honest.
Okay. Final question before we must wrap up. The reason you're doing that, you've explained to us, is the support for that amazing organisation, Child Fund Rugby. What we haven't mentioned is the mechanism for doing that. You've got a give and gain page going, and you're asking people basically to sort of buy a kilometre of your trip. Is that right?
Yeah, so we've kind of racked our brains about how we can do something a little bit different this time around. So we're going to be cycling about 16,500 kilometers. So we encourage everybody to please go to racetorugbyworldcup.com. You'll find a link to our give and gain page there. Obviously, it's a super useful tool, and the guys there have been super helpful in setting it up. And for $10 each, about 150 Rand or 160 Rand, depending on the day of the week, you can own a kilometer of our journey. Every cent raised goes directly to Child Fund programs. And we have asked that any money donated in South Africa does go to the programs that they're going to be rolling out in South Africa in the coming year.
That's exciting.
So you'll know your money. So that's really cool. So they haven't announced it publicly, but you know they're happy to talk about it. They are going to be launching a couple of pilot programs. So I'm actually getting goosebumps talking to you, Pippa. It's so exciting that they're coming to South Africa. They're coming to Kenya as well, Uganda. But all money raised in South Africa will go to the program in SA. And please follow us on our Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at Race to RWC, on our website, and all the details are there.
It's amazing news. Thank you so much. You've just, I think, made the day of many listeners listening to this interview to know that the program is being expanded into our country. And it's fantastic that donations will be ring-fenced for that. So once again, it's racetorugbyworldcup.com. That's the website you start on. There's a link there to take you through to the Give and Gain page if you'd like to pledge an amount towards it. I'm going to ask each of you in closing to tell me which part of the journey you're looking most forward to. Adam, let me start with you. Is there a particular moment on the map that you can't wait to get to, or a place you've always wanted to see that you're finally going to set foot on?
I think it's Sydney. It just recently came. Like I've made a lot of good friends back in 2016 from Australia. I hadn't been able to see them. I wanted to see them in Sydney. I loved finding Nemo. Mm-hmm. I think I truly believe once we get to Sydney, you know, we've made it in the mental capacity of things, you know. So that's my ideal place, but things changed. Like, I didn't expect anything from Malaysia, and it's been one of my favorite places I've ever been to in the whole world. So, yeah.
Okay.
But I've got to be honest, getting to Eden Park on the 8th of October and delivering that whistle successfully, we haven't lost it. Adam and I are still talking to each other, and we've raised $200,000 for Child Fund. So that's our goals, and I'd be absolutely delighted. But we're not pushing the journey away. As if it's about the journey, not the destination, but that'll be a special day for both of us.
Amazing. Look forward to talking to you once you've ticked that off the list. Ron Rutland and Adam Nunn joining us from Malaysia via Zoom. Really great to have you with us. I think it's this evening in your part of the world. Go put your feet up, have something delicious to eat, and ready yourselves for the day back in the saddle tomorrow. Awesome to have you back on the show again today.
Thank you so much, Pippa. Thank you to you and your listeners for all the support. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you.
And cheers to you as well, Adam. Thanks for joining us. The race to the Rugby World Cup. So the next one is the Women's World Cup in New Zealand, kicking off in October. And I bet I'll be having a conversation in a year or two about the trip onwards to France for 2023.